Well, good afternoon.
Guys, definitely starting a new series here in Hebrews. Looking forward to it. Really great. Last week has been really good. Had an opportunity to hang out with Chris and get up there and be on campus. It was really great. Just talking to people about Jesus and just learning a lot from the youth, the young generation. And it was great meeting the guy from Canada. It was really cool. It was like, man. We really enjoyed that. Great seeing Todd and Scott hang out. I know the barbecue is good, but I thought the beach was good. But Scott said he actually photoshopped that picture to make it look good. The paradise. He said a lot going on around there. That you'd be like, this is not what you see in the picture. So, but it's great just see us hanging out together, building together, just being a family, working hard at it. But we're going to talk about, you know, Jesus being superior in every way. I think that's a challenge every day that we deal with in life.
Yep.
That Jesus needs to be superior. He knows that he's superior, but sometimes we wrestle with that depending on what's happening in life.
Yep.
We wrestle with God being superior or taking the lead. But as Jesus, I've said, I love the fact that that our King and that our Lord, our God, he grades on a curve. You know, we don't say he grades on the curve, and the curve just happens to be grace, mercy, understanding, patience, and love. Because he just grades on the curve, you know, when dealing with us. And so have to appreciate that. But I want to open up here with a couple of thoughts here that some things that we're going to jump into. Let me try to get in the right area here. But, you know, we need to learn how to apply, what to apply, when to apply, where to apply, and why we should apply the scriptures to our lives. This letter that was written directly to the group of their day is a letter that we can learn from. The question is why? Because this letter is divine scripture and God-breathed. The writer was carried along by the Holy Spirit as they wrote this letter. Over in John 16, the gospel, as Jesus is speaking to the disciple, verse 12, he says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. He says, but when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He says, he will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. You know, it's clear that in John chapter 16, verse 12 to 15, it gives the letter that we know as the book of Hebrews its authority in our lives today. It just requires us to spend time in it to see how, what, when, where, and why we should apply this book to our lives. To only view this as a letter for this group of that day is a disservice to the Father, the Son, and to the church. So, as we go through Hebrews, let's keep Romans 15, 4 and 9. It says, for everything that was written in the past, was written to teach us so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm so grateful that God used a lot of men back in the day to write the scriptures.
Amen.
Sometimes we feel like, why did you call me to write these words? But these guys went through a lot. Some little lives are like, nah, you can have that you can have that time in your life. But so grateful that God influenced, inspired, and said, you're going to be my man. You're going to be my guy. You're not only going to write this, but you're going to live it. Yeah. And I want people to see that I love them, and I want people to see that they're no different from you. Here's the thing here in Hebrews chapter 1 as we open up. I'm going to read verse 1. It says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. So I want to stop there. And the thing is, so how did God communicate in the past? A couple things I found out was direct communication. God often spoke directly to prophets in the Old Testament. Number two, dreams and visions. God also communicated with the prophets through dreams and visions. Yes, we know. Angelic visitations. Angels were often used as messengers to deliver God's word to prophets in the Old Testament. Signs and wonders. We know about Moses in the burning bush. Writings on stones or scrolls and prophetic inspiration. So God did a lot of communication back then to those guys in the past. And because of that, a lot of the Jews of that day, Messianic Jews of that day, they kind of hung on to that like, that was just something that was just fact. Something I could put my hands on that I know happened was tangible. And so here we are introducing Jesus into the pot, and they're kind of like, well, you know, this happened so many ADs ago, and I wasn't there, and you know, we for so long this has been our tradition that this is what worship of God is all about, stones, scrolls, visions, signs, and wonders. But we go on down here as the writer wants to prove to them and get them back on point. He says, in Hebrews chapter 2 says, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through him, whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much as superior to angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. There is no greater hope than a superiority in Christ.
Amen.
It just is no greater hope. Why is Jesus superior? What makes him superior that we should take notice? Well, number one, the scripture makes clear he is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation.
Yes.
Verse 2. Sustaining all things by his powerful word. Providing purification for sins. He sits at the right hand of God, and his name alone is superior. To give a little bit more in-depth background and why this first part of this letter has been written to establish that Christ is superior, some research I did here, and something I came across and said, the Jewish culture of that day struggled. They really struggled. And it says, Hebrews were primarily converts to Christ. There were probably a number of unbelievers in their midst who were attracted by the message of salvation, but who had not yet made a full commitment, of their faith in Christ. People do that today. People are attracted by the things that the church offers, attracted by Jesus, but people don't make a full commitment yet. They even come and sit down and worship with us. So I get this. It goes on to say, one thing is clear from the content of the epistles. The community of the Hebrews were facing the possibility of intensified persecution. As they confronted this possibility, the Hebrews were tempted to cast aside any identification with Christ. They may have considered demoted Christ from God's Son to a mere angel. Such a moment had already been set in the quorum community of Messianic Jews living near the Dead Sea. They had dropped out of the society's establishment, established a religious commune and included the worship of angels in their brand of Reformed Judaism. The quorum community had even gone so far as to claim that the angel Michael was higher in status than the coming Messiah. These kind of doctoral abbreviations could explain the emphasis in Hebrews chapter 1 on the superiority of Christ over angels. A lot of this statement rings true if you ever have spent any time with other religious and other religious organizations talk to people. Me, I've always been curious. My thing is that there's only one God. One God, why are there so many churches? It's just me. So what does Satan Darker do? Hey, I want to come sit down and study with you. I want to know what are we missing, seeing difference. I know Jehovah's Witnesses, they believe strongly in Michael. That's the thing. You know, when I read this, I'm like, I can see that. Muslims have a different viewing thing. Muslims believe that you have multiple wives. I'm like, who wants all that difficulty in their life? That's just crazy. That's just crazy. I mean, no disrespect to my sisters. We love you, but, you know, hey, that's crazy. But, you know, they want multiple wives. And I remember studying this guy. He says, in Muslim culture, you can have multiple wives. But if you have one wife giving $100,000, you have to provide the same type of income for the other wife. Who wants that? I was like, that's crazy. One woman I'm happy, I'm content, we're good. You know? So I can see that when people tend to run away because of persecution, or you're in this walk with Christ and it gets a little hard, I can see you want to go up and stop something different that you think is comfortable. Yeah. Or as God wants you to care, stretch and get you here. I can see that. But it's not worth it. And then you get into all these kind of loopy and crazy things about, well, we're going to worship the angel because the angel's going to do exactly what I want it to do for me. We feel that way. One of the biggest challenges in the church that we've always had as individuals that we cannot control Jesus. That's it.
Yeah.
I was thinking, I said, you know what? There's a lot of things that we ask Jesus for, and a lot of times he just doesn't answer because he knows what's best. But Jesus was never meant to be controlled by us.
No.
He was meant to be worshipped by us.
That's right.
And appreciated. And that's what we have to have our focus. And that's what the writer here is trying to get you to understand, that Jesus is in control, not us. You know, there are many pressures that we face in life. Pressures for us equals stress. So here are 10 things I thought about the pressures that we deal with. And there's so many in life, I say, man, there's too many to know. But one thing, the first one I thought about was the loss of a loved one. Whoa, that's hard, lose a loved one. Mm-hmm. I remember when my grandma died and the world was going on, and I was mad, like, why are y'all still living? My grandma died. But I didn't understand death at that moment, but it hurt. My grandma died, y'all need to stop moving around. You need to stop doing stuff. Loss of a loved one makes you question. For those who are not close to Jesus, it'll make you question God. Why? Because you got so accustomed that this is life. Life is supposed to be like this. Nobody shut down. My grandma should just stay old and pretty and precious and shouldn't go nowhere. You also know everybody has talents.
Yep.
But when Jesus is superior, you realize that death is not the end of the story, especially if grandma and grandpa are in Christ.
Right.
It's not even the story. Marriage. Why is this so hard? Why won't my wife listen to me? Why won't my husband listen to me? Why is it not, man? You know, it's both ways. We think the wife don't listen, the wife's like, you're not listening. It's both ways. Marriage is so challenging. We go in all happy in marriage, it's great, great, everything's like, things are changing, and you got two people, God said, now you're meant to become one. You have to give up a lot of your own selfish ways. You're meant to become one of the working ones.
Yes.
Marriage is an example of what the church should look like when it comes to Jesus. Mm-hmm. But, you know, marriage can be great if Jesus is what? Superior.
Yes.
Next one is a stress factor pressure is family. How did my parents or grandparents do it? My dad comes from family of 11 kids. My mom comes from a family of 10 kids. My mom's grandma, my grandma, she was a single mom, raised all 10 of them. There was other kids in the neighborhood. My mom said, we never went without them. We always had them. Today, we'd be like, how did you do that? And yeah, I didn't. You come with this approval. My mom said, we never went without, we always had it, you know? My dad, although his dad was there, life beat up on my grandfather on my dad's side. And he went to drinking. Sometimes when life gets hard, people go to the bar. Now, he was a cameraman. He would come to my mom and drop me up with my dad right home for the summer. I was a little boy. My granddad would come and visit me. And he would sit there, he'd be drunk. He would do a little trick with the magic. My father stuff with me. He would spend time with me. He just, you know, this is way of just trying to show love for me. And my dad's mom, I never really got to know her because she was working. She might as well have been single too. She was always working, trying to provide for 11 kids. But it was hard back then. But we think like, how did they do it? How did they do it? I'm going to tell you, they can deal with 11 and 10 kids.
Well,
what are we talking about?
Right.
If Christ is superior, I remember my, both my grandparents, Jesus was the one thing they held on to out of all things. He stayed in church. Anyway, we do it. Friendships. For some, it comes easy. For others, it doesn't. Hard trying to get it.
Yeah.
Friendships. Oh, my goodness. And we look at it like, why you want to be my friend? Why are you so difficult? Why can't we just get along, man?
Right.
And then you get that one friend like, oh, weakness. We are so good together. Oh, we're the perfect friend. And then we up and move, life happens, and we separate, we're like, oh, my friend's gone. And then every other friend you try to make, you try to measure up to the friend you had.
Yep.
Lord, man, I'm doing something new here, okay? It's not them. But you know, Christ is superior. Any friendship can work. Look at it through different eyes. They can't be your old friend. They're a new friend. Oh, stretch factors. Job, my boss, my company. Why is my boss so difficult? I have worked with difficult bosses. Maybe some of you have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some bosses are trying to get to the top. And they don't care how they got to step on, who they got to step on. Mm-hmm. Some bosses are difficult, you know. But you know, Christ is superior, man. You can kind of work through it.
Mm-hmm.
You work through it, either stay there, you work through it, find somewhere to go. Mm-hmm. And you be respectful when you leave. You just don't want them to quit. Give them that 2 weeks notice, even though they can fire me without a 2 weeks notice. That has never made sense to me. You can cut me loose, don't give me a 2 weeks notice. But you want a 2 weeks notice because it affects your business. But the price of period, then you can make it through it. Financial rules. Wasn't taught how to manage money or manage credit. But credit cards have to give campus students what? Credit cards in college. Oh, here's some credit. Get some credit. Financial. But you know what? If you make it this long, live this far, you have the opportunity to clean it up. Sometimes it's hard to change habits, but they can be changed. Unanswered prayers. Why doesn't God say yes to everything I want?
Come on.
Now I'm going to ask a question that some of you can probably say yes. But do you really think God should say yes to everything? That's somebody probably. So one person say no, amen, sister.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we just go like, just say yes, God. I can handle it. I can do it. Trust me. It's like a parent dealing with a child, and a child just wants mom and dad to say yes. And the parents can see far beyond what the child wants, but the child can't see that. All the child can see is just say yes, say yes. You know, God doesn't answer the prayers that we want. He only answers. And sometimes he gives us things that we need and we don't even know that we need it. Health challenges. Why do I have this illness? As you get older, some of us live with chronic illnesses.
Yes, sir.
It's hard on the body. My brother was saying, it sucks getting old. Yes, it does. Then maybe it doesn't. It probably wouldn't if we didn't live with no illnesses, you know. But I think it's a blessing to get old. I was talking to a guy the other day. I said, who's somewhere? Some guy was talking to us again. That's a lot of people who left back in high school. We didn't even make it out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
They passed away. You know. See, though we got to live in this illness and things, but you know what? We're going to be okay from this crisis period. Finally, the church, you know, why? Commandments, persecution, carry my cross, examples to follow. Why not accept me as I am and let me stay as I am? Why must I change?
Signed up.
Oh, that's a pressure to stretch back. It can definitely be like, man, God showed up. Isn't that good enough?
Yeah.
Isn't that good enough? Why? But you know, to exist in eternity with God, God wants you and him to be on the same page.
Yeah.
Yeah. Finally, number 10, life. There's got to be a better way forward. Life can be hard, but there are a lot of good spots in life.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at life like I look at it, as I always say, life is good because God is good.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a lot to be grateful for. Those Messianic Jews during that time, who decided that due to the intensified pressure of persecution or whatever, decided to break away, decided to start something new, really get harm to themselves, and not keep Christ at the top. Who felt like if I can worship an angel, that somebody controlled life. I'm here to tell you, it never is and it never will be. Jesus has to be superior, no matter what you're going through, no matter how hard it gets, no matter what the challenge is. Jesus has to be superior. And if he is superior, you will have moments of rejoicing and joy in your own. Yeah. I was out yesterday with Candace and Therese. And so grateful for grandparents. Grateful for them. And this, you know, Candace went yesterday, went to the farmer's market and took her to the store, got some few things. So I'm calling my mom about it in the store eating up, and Jason doesn't even lunch. It was too cold for me. I had to go outside and sit in the sun. That's kind of sad. But we got in the car, Kenzie comes up, talking to grandma. She said, "Hello, grandma." And my mom said, "She sounds so much better than last week after the episode." And I thought to myself, "You're right, she does sound better." All that my daughter needed to know, okay, we were together. That I was holding it in the road, my mom was holding it in the road. Well, I said, Jesus is spirit. My mom was a die-hard preacher, God to me, to the day she died. Jesus is spirit. And when Jesus is spirit, everything else around you will work out. Gordon Brother says, when Christ is not superior in our lives, we can give into pressure and become self-reliant and adopt an attitude that we know best. We will begin to advocate that there is something or someone who is more adequate to meet our needs according to our wishes. But the Hebrew writer reminds us why Jesus is superior. And we're going to kind of fast here, guys. In Hebrews 1, chapter 5, it says, "For which of the angels did God ever say, 'You are my son? Today I have become your father.' Or again, 'I will be his father, and he will be my son.'" In red, have it there. Why Jesus is superior is that he is the son and not a son. You see, angels are sons, we're sons, but there's only one true son, and that is Jesus. Verse 6, "And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, 'Let all God's angels worship him.'" In red, he is the firstborn worshipped by angels. Verse 7, "And speaking of angels, he says, 'He makes his angels spirits and his servants flames of fire.'" He is served by the angels. Verse 8 and 9, "But about the Son, he says, 'Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy.'" He is God's enthroned and anointed. Verse 10 and 12. He also says in the beginning, "Lord, you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe, like a garment. They will be changed, but you remain the same, and your years will never end." He is eternal. Verse 13 and 14. "To which of the angels did God ever say, 'Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet'? Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation?" Christ is sovereign, angels are servant. They even serve us who will inherit salvation.
Amen.
And us is the church. Guys, we do not allow the pressures of this life. We do not allow the pressure of this life to push you into compromising your convictions. And your love for Jesus. there's a lot of pressure.
No.
Yes, sir.
It's not going to end, it's not going to stop.
Right.
But don't let it push you to compromise.
Amen.
We see other people dealing with pressure and issues that are closer to friends and closer to that kind of pressure. Someone you love is hurting, and you can't do nothing. But don't let it push you to compromise. Practice security. Make sure Jesus stays secure.
Amen.
Anything we're going through is not the end of the world. It's just a moment in time. It's all it is. If you find yourself at times questioning Christ's security, remember this. John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has ever been made. Everything began with him. Yeah. And he's going to make sure everything closes out. Guys, hope this has been encouraging as you go throughout your day and the rest of the week. Be sure that Jesus is here.
Amen.
And yourself, everything will work out.
Amen.
Thank you guys so much.
Amen.